Hi everyone, welcome back to Series 2 of Not Another Sales Podcast. I'm Chris Hatfield, aka Not Another Sales Guy. I'm a sales and mindfulness coach, trainer, consultant and speaker. I work with corporate sales teams and leaders, along with startup business owners passionate about what they do, but wanting to up their sales game. My main mission is helping us all become more mindful of how we elevate our performance, perspective and potential. If you want to know more, then look me up on LinkedIn. Chris Hatfield, always happy to chat. So if you're new to Not Another Sales Podcast, here's what to expect. It's aimed at giving you insights into how you can be successful within the world of sales, whether that's your career or your own business. We go deeper into the thought process and mindset needed for success when selling and when running a business, not just the skills and output. So if you're looking for a podcast with a difference that starts with the mind in mind, this is for you. So enough about me, let's get started. In today's episode, I'm joined by sales leader and consultant, Tony Bennett. And Tony and I are going to be talking all about being mindful of your sales process. We're going to start by talking about why you should reflect on your sales process, even if it's working currently. Observations of how sales has evolved in the last few years. The things we can mistakenly think need fixing over our sales process. The blockers and the challenges we face when reflecting on this, and the steps to reflect and tweak your sales process continuously as you evolve as a business and as an individual. So sit back, grab a pen and pad and enjoy. Tony, welcome. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me today, Chris.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining me on an episode of Not Another Sales Podcast.
Of course.
Tony, for people tuning in and those that aren't familiar of myself, it would be great, and I ask every guest to do this, to give them a bit of a story, a bit of context. It would be great to start off by sharing with them who you are and what makes you you.
Of course. So I am currently a consultant helping companies to grow revenue and scale their sales organizations. But I spent the last 4 years growing the sales team at Terminus from essentially the ground up, from zero to 20 million in revenue. I'm also a new mom, so that is certainly a new dynamic. And I'm excited about the topic today because I spent a lot of time currently with my clients and at my last company nerding out over sales process. So excited to dive in.
Great. Well, congratulations on the mum part as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you mentioned there around sales process. And when we were first speaking, it came up from this exact conversation of what you're doing at the moment, in that we can invest a lot of time in sales, raising customers' awareness of ours and getting in front of them and starting the conversation, but sometimes overlook how we manage that process once you've done it. Mm-hmm. So first of all, why do you feel it's important for businesses to be reflecting on their sales process and how they're going about things once they've got in front of a customer or got them into their funnel?
Yeah. And when I was thinking about this topic, I want to make sure real quick that we define what we mean when we're talking about sales process. Of course, there are a lot of processes that we may have as sales leaders for our teams. And so specifically here, we're talking about once a prospect expresses interest in learning more. So kind of the first meeting through making a decision. So really the journey we take a buyer on towards purchase. And I think ideally the sales process aligns really well with the buying process. When those things are mirrored, magical things can happen. And when they're not, we're typically not going to be very successful. And so one last note on that, and thinking about this too, I was thinking, okay, how often are salespeople successful outside of having a strong sales process? And I think that it's possible. It happens. There are times when a very charismatic salesperson can be successful, at least for a time, without that. But if you're a sales leader that is scaling a sales organization without that, I don't think you can consistently have success. So with all that said, as a little bit of context, I think it's really important for businesses to constantly and obsessively think about what is my sales process and how is it aligning with the buying process? And we'll dig a little bit more into why continuing to evolve it. But the truth is things are just changing so fast now in business, from our market, our buyer, our competition, our own product, that we can't just build a sales process and continue to do the same thing. We constantly need to reevaluate if what we're doing is the right thing at this phase of our business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as well, something that I thought about with this as well, of why people need to be consistently reflecting on their sales price or even just starting it, is that something that may have made you successful suited you at that period of time, or down to growth or the market or the way we evolved as the way we buy and sell as human beings. It's a bit like you've kind of outgrown it sometimes. I look at it a bit like a summer job. It suits you for a certain period of time. Now you've moved on. It's now thinking, okay, what do we need to start looking at? Because you mentioned it there, certain things as well around scaling it. And it might be that you've got some people in the business that know the business inside out and have that charismatic element around them. But if you're going to bring other people in, it's important that you've got something that they can sort of pick up and go, this is what works for us and this is how we do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the advent of all this new marketing and sales technology, we have more data than ever at our fingertips to understand what's working and what's not. So we'd be crazy not to use all of that data to our advantage and figure out what's working, what's resonating, how is our buyer buying, what do they need to feel comfortable making a decision. And it's not always the most scientific product. Some of it is trial and error, but we'd be crazy not to try to figure out how to optimize that process.
Absolutely. And a side question to this, I ask a lot of people who come on here from a sales background of how we've evolved over time with how we sell. But what observations have you made on how sales has evolved, and even in the last few months or years?
Yeah, so I think a lot of this, I think, will be very obvious. But, you know, with the rise of the internet, buyers are more able to do their own research than ever before. And so I think the two biggest trends that I've seen are, one, it used to be a salesperson could be very pushy, could hold back information. And that's not the case anymore. Buyers are impatient. Again, they can do so much research on their own. They really want a salesperson who can add value. And so I think the days of, you know, a sleazy salesperson or the relationship seller are not fully dead, but are largely dead. Buyers have a lot more options and choices. And I think the other big theme is, and it kind of builds on that, the need then to have a really differentiated sales process, to not just rely on a one-to-one relationship with, you know, one person connecting with one person, but now it's even more important as the buying committee is growing that you are able to connect with lots of different types of personalities and really navigate an organization, and usually often have to leverage multiple resources within your own organization, potentially bring in other resources to help get a sale done.
Yeah, completely agree with everything you said there. And with this in mind then, with how we've evolved and looking at the sales process, what do you think gets in the way or stops people from looking at within in terms of how they're selling and their process of what they're going about to generate opportunities?
Yeah, I imagine most of the time it's either one, a particular thing has been working for a particular period of time, and so we just continue to move forward with it, assuming that it will always work. I think it's bandwidth. Almost all sales leaders, probably every single sales leader, would say that they are really busy. There's so many things they could spend their time doing, from coaching reps to figuring out sales process to forecasting to any number of other things. And so finding the time, the bandwidth to stop, slow down, and think about it can be overwhelming or can get lost in the shuffle. But I think it's dangerous to let that happen, because as much as it does require effort and research to perfect, it's important that we do that research. Otherwise, and I've seen this play out myself, otherwise you get to a situation where your team just starts losing a lot of deals, and it takes you a few months to realize, oh, we outgrew that sales process, or the market has changed, the buyer has changed. There's a lot of new competition, and we haven't been proactive in, you know, combating that competition.
Yeah, agreed. And on top of that as well, I think sometimes it's a lack of accountability in a business. It can come down to, even from a management perspective, sometimes thinking it's down to the salesperson, or it's even the customer and blaming them and thinking, oh, why haven't they understood this? Like, why is that decision? It's taking that accountability and going, do you know what? It's not down to the people that are selling it sometimes, or the people that are buying it. It's the people putting in place that process around it. And it comes down to that awareness as well. But then that accountability is to go, actually, we're the constant within all of this. We should start looking at ourselves rather than those around us.
Yeah. And kind of a point on that, it's a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's applicable. I think one of the reasons why me going into Terminus ended up being a good fit. So when I started at Terminus, I did not have any previous sales leadership experience, which often someone would think that's not a great sign. But I didn't come into Terminus with a playbook that I had used at another company to try to enforce a previous process there. And I think a lot of times sales leaders do that. I had success with this process at X big company. I can then take that process somewhere else. And that's just not the case. Every business and market is unique. And so I think you've got to think about your sales process as evolving and as a problem to be solved. And if you think of it as like a math problem to be solved, something that requires iteration, but that there is an answer that you can work through, then having that mindset of problem solving, I think, is important. It's going to help you to continue to be successful in any sales leadership role, no matter how much experience you have.
Mm. And when you went into Terminus, what else do you think worked for you to be able to shift things from what you mentioned at the start, from pretty much zero?
That's hard to evaluate yourself in that way, but I would say, again, one, the problem-solving mentality. I don't know what's going on, so I literally have to dig through the problem and figure out the right way. I had a lot of mentors. I had this network of about 10 VPs of sales and CROs that I was constantly asking for advice. And initially, I thought someone will have the right answer. And you realize quickly that there typically is not a right answer. You take the experience from other people. And again, you figure out what works best in your business. And then I think lastly is, and this goes kind of back to your theme about what's changing in sales. I think salespeople also, and millennials have changed the workforce and what they want from leadership. I think the average person wants a job, wants a career path where they feel like they can make a difference in some way. And so coming into Terminus, knowing that we were an early stage company that needed to have really fast growth, I put a lot of trust in the people that I hired to be a part of changing, building sales process. Anytime we were going to make tweaks, I would certainly go in a room, have some whiteboarding and brainstorming sessions, but bring things to the group and ask, guys, you're the ones in the trenches. What do you think will work? Or I would get two reps to try something a few times on calls to see if it resonated. So involving the team in the process and letting them be a part of the creative process as well as the iterating process is important.
Mm. Yeah, and that comes down to a lot down to empathy as well, which, as you mentioned, with millennials these days, but as human beings, I think empathy is so important and integral. And I was talking about this today on LinkedIn, actually, in that it's meeting someone where they're at. And particularly with sales process, as you said earlier, it's not about coming from a different business and going, right, it worked here, I'm now going to implement it here, is thinking, what is working? You know, we're so quick to look at sometimes all the problems and all the challenges and thinking what isn't working, but there must be some good stuff because a business has got to a certain point already. So it's thinking, as you said there, how do I utilize that? There's pockets of genius within this business already, and get people bought into it, because the more they feel like they're part of creating something, when we do create a sales process, it's more likely then to have buy-in from people because
that's right,
they've been the founding fathers of it.
Exactly.
So from your experience as well, not just at Terminus, but elsewhere, and now that you're consulting, what are the stages people should go through to sense check their sales process and evolve it if necessary?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things, and I think this of course becomes more and more challenging as you manage a business of bigger scale. If you're an executive SVP of sales and a really large company managing hundreds of salespeople, this becomes very difficult. But I think step number one is diving really deeply into conversion rates through the funnel, especially if results are not what you want them to be. But ideally, you catch this ahead of a big dip in conversions or pipeline or win rates. But essentially, if you break down the sales process, and I can use an example from Terminus, we found that our volume of net new meetings was decreasing and the team was increasing and the revenue number was not changing. So we had to ask ourselves, what's going on currently and how can we improve? And so looking at conversion rates from even to some degree going through the lead process, but especially once we had that first conversation with a prospect, where are we seeing the most drop off? Then from there, step two is dive into why, meaning listen to as many sales calls in that particular stage as possible. So you can understand, start to pick up what might not be going well. Now, on the side, you can also do things like interview customers, interview potential customers who fell out of the pipeline, if they are kind enough to, you know, give you the time, and listening even to customer calls to just pick up, like, what are the areas in which our customers are seeing the most value in our product? And are we properly expressing that value in the sales process? But kind of back to the main flow, I think it's, again, understanding your conversion rates and where there's drop-off, diving in to understand what does that part of the process look like today and is there an area for improvement? And often you find you start to see trends pretty quickly. So for example, with the Terminus example, we found that one, we needed to do a better job of qualifying accounts before we set them up for an account executive. We had such loose qualifications, which at the early stage of our business made sense. We were a brand new company. We wanted to take almost any call. We realized we had outgrown that process, needed to be stricter about qualification criteria. So that actually further decreased flow, but increased quality. Now that we had increased quality, the next step we realized is there was still a big gap between the number of prospects going to a demo step and then converting after that. And as we started to dive in, there were two big themes we noticed. One, we weren't being very rigid about asking to involve other stakeholders. In most cases, we are speaking with a lower level contact in the marketing organization. And we started to see this trend that if we didn't involve a VP level or higher by the third call, the likelihood we would close that deal was very small. So understanding that, we knew that a simple tweak was needed there to more strongly ask to involve others in the process. And then the other theme was the reps often didn't know where to go next. We had a very structured process for call one and call two. But after that, depending on that unique organization and where they were at as a business, what kinds of hesitations they may have, there were different paths that we wanted to take them down. So we ended up building a kind of if this, then that process, where if a prospect had X type of objection or hesitation, your next call, your call three, would be this type of call. Whereas if it was, you know, objection B, it would be this type of the call or conversation. So hopefully that example is helpful of, you know, diving in, starting to figure out what's not going well. And then you have, I guess the last step there is starting to iterate on that. So when you figure out what's not going well, you start to figure out how to change or tweak that. Sometimes the first version of what you want to change doesn't work out the way you think it will. So then you have to try a couple of things, see what does resonate with the buyer, and then you can start to roll that out across the sales organization.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the couple of things you mentioned there, actually, that I feel so integral in, that when we're reflecting on our sales process, is not just looking at it from a management or leadership point of view, but first of all, speaking to your customers, particularly the ones that you're now working with, because it's so easy sometimes, you know, we'll often stew over and try and get examples from customers when the deal doesn't go through as to what's happened. But when we get them through, it's almost like taking for granted that, oh, it's probably because of this, or make an assumption, but
actually spending some time and going, what was it? Not just about the product, but what was it about the process, and designing some questions around that where you can actually get a bit more of an insight into sort of reaffirming what's working and areas you still may need to tweak. And I think what that also comes down to, as you mentioned, is creating that open communication channel with the sales team so that they feel comfortable to come back to the business and go, do you know what, this isn't working at the moment, rather than just feeling like they have to obey it because this is gospel, this is how we've always done it, so you can't question it, is to create that culture where people feel comfortable to go, do you know what, actually, when you're bringing these people into the business and millennials and these types of people, is encouraging them to, we want to get your opinion, we want to get your thoughts, because there might be a better way of doing these things. And you mentioned one of the things that worked for your Terminus was coming in with a fresh set of eyes. It's the same when you bring people into your business, is that they're not making these assumptions. So utilize that.
Yeah. And I think one of the key things you said there was culture. And I think it has to be an ingrained part of your culture. I worked really hard to make sure that there was a culture of the team. It was an expectation that they had to take part in this evolution of sales process. We are constantly evolving our discovery guides. And so, you know, it was a normal part of sales meetings for me to ask, it seems like we're having a lower response rate here or there. What are you guys hearing or feeling about this particular step? What are you noticing? Can you tag me on calls? We use a tool called Gong to record our calls. Can you tag me on calls where you have an example of this so I can hear it? And so it was a core part of our process to constantly be sharing back things that we were learning or sharing things that we thought could be improved.
Mm. And you mentioned it a couple of times in here when we first spoke as well. This isn't us just saying, right, you need to sit down and spend a week or a month reevaluating your sales process and then carry on. It's a consistent thing to be reflecting on. How would you encourage people to put in place some practices where they're doing this and not just making a change and then waiting a year or two before they look at it again?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it depends on the business. I mean, ideally, at least once a year, you're going through this exercise. We found a sales leadership at a very fast-paced company. We had to get off-site to do a lot of this type of work. It was very difficult in a normal day if we didn't really block off some hours on the calendar. So I think the number one takeaway there, regardless of how you do it, is that it has to be intentional. I do think at least once a year, if not, you know, biannually, twice a year, is a good time frame to evaluate that. And I think you just, again, back to building a culture, if you have the right culture with your sales team and your sales leaders, especially those frontline leaders, in voicing things that don't seem to be going well or voicing changes that they're sensing in the market, there starts to be a more natural cadence of saying, hey, I keep getting reports from my sales leaders that were really struggling with more and more objections. So again, as an example from my last company, there was a time in which all of a sudden at a much higher pace, we were losing deals to competition. We were having competition come up more. We were having prospects ask more about competition. And because we had that culture, we noticed it pretty quickly. Had to figure out, okay, well, what does that mean? How do we need to adjust? We don't want to create a sales process that's defensive and is constantly talking about our competition and bringing them up. But if we know what strengths we have compared to our competition, we could probably do a better job of bringing them up proactively early in the sales process. So hopefully we can nip some of that in the bud before it ever comes up.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And we've mentioned, or you've mentioned a few times around sales leaders, we've talked about culture and other aspects, and not just related to the topic of sales process, but what do you think is important for sales leaders to focus on or to maybe adapt in terms of how they lead and manage people around them in this day and age?
I think that if people know that you care about them, they'll run through a wall for you and they will give you a break when you mess things up. I used to tell my team constantly, guys, we're going on this new journey. We're going to be changing some things. I promise you, I will fuck some things up. That's just going to happen. But if you communicate to me when things aren't going well and you work with me, like, we'll fix it together. So I don't know. I think no matter how much experience you have, no matter how much of an expert you may be on things. Again, the more you show the team that you care and the more that you give them a voice in the process, even when you mess things up or you have a bad day, the team tends to give you a break and tends to be pretty loyal.
Yeah. And for yourself, Tony, in your career and your life so far, what do you feel like you've learned most about yourself?
That's a great question. And I can go multiple ways with that. What have I learned most about myself? I think I've learned that I really enjoy problem solving. I really enjoy working through complex, challenging problems. And I am someone who would always rather make a decision collectively in a group setting than on my own. I am okay with doing that if I have to, but I actually prefer the collaborative kind of style. And so I think luckily those things seem to lend pretty well to the type of sales leadership that I have been in. But those are two things I think I didn't know about myself before I was in sales leadership that I've learned quite a bit over the last kind of 4.5 years.
Yeah. And, you know, clearly talking to you today and also when we initially spoke, you're very passionate about what you do and why you do it. But what would you say are some of your main things that inspire you or motivate you?
So when I started my career, it's funny, I was pre-law, like a lot of sales reps. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I grew up in a very blue-collar home. So I didn't really know that this kind of work existed. And so I always had this feeling of wanting to do work that was challenging and interesting, but not really knowing what that meant. And I kind of fell into sales. And I think that the reason I enjoy this career path so much is because it is challenging. So when you have a win, you have a victory, it feels really good because you know getting there was really challenging and really difficult. Anything worth doing is hard. So I think I enjoy that a lot about it. But I also think, especially now in what I'm doing with consulting, being able to see tangible improvements and success as a very exciting, interesting part about consulting and about sales. In a lot of professions, it's really difficult to see the impact of the work you're doing. When you tweak sales process or you help a client to add a step to their sales process or change something, and then their conversion rates jump up significantly and they start closing more deals, that's a very satisfying feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And aside from the topic we've talked about today around sales process, is there any other tips or words of advice you'd like to share with people that you've been talking about recently or something that stuck with you throughout your career?
Well, something I've been thinking a lot about, which I do think lends pretty nicely into this conversation. So a lot of the clients I've been working with were doing some sort of support with messaging, whether it's helping to build outbound sales outreach, like emails and call scripts, whether it's improving talk tracks within their sales process or whatever else the case may be. There's been, with virtually every client, some sort of conversations around value and how do we tell our story and express value. And so I think what really moves the needle is your ability as a salesperson to articulate the outcomes that your product drives and to clearly communicate with the customer how your product, your offering can help them achieve those outcomes. So a lot of times we talk about the product, we talk about the features and even the benefits, but what is the impact of those benefits? What are the goals you want to achieve and why? So let me take a step back. A lot of times when customers talk about their goals, it's kind of like a leading indicator to something else. So someone may say, hey, I want to generate more leads. Well, if you really dig down into the why, it's because they know that by generating more leads, ultimately they're going to generate more opportunities and more revenue. So revenue is really the outcome they're trying to drive by focusing on the goal of leads. So by getting to the deeper level of what is the goal you're trying to drive, but how does that really fit into the bigger outcome you're trying to drive for your business? And if you can get there, and that's not easy, it's actually very difficult sometimes to walk the buyer through getting to that point. But if you can, then you are way more equipped as you discuss, you know, your product, your offering to say, you want to accomplish this goal, which will have this impact on your business. Here, very specifically, is how I can help you get there with this. What do you think? Is this valuable to you? And typically the answer then, if you've done a good job, is yes. So now you've moved from being on opposite sides of the table from your buyer to being on the same side of the table. And now the conversation shifts to, let's do the work together to sell this in your organization. Who do we need to involve? What's the process? Versus, you know, hey, you saw my product. Do you like it? Are you ready to buy it now? And so many salespeople don't really know what would motivate their buyer to buy.
Mm, yeah. And when it comes down to that as well, I think is that every business was set up to solve a problem. It wasn't just like, hey, let's just start this thing because it sounds fun. It's like it was set up because there was a problem that exists.
That's right.
So it's focusing on that in terms of what do we solve? What problems do we solve as a business? Because people don't care what you do. They just care how it's going to help them and how it's going to benefit them. I tell this story quite frequently, mm-hmm. actually, when I speak to people. I was working with a telco company, and one of the people told me a story. They went in to pitch this solution to a company, and the director just said straight away, I don't care what you do, just tell me how your piece of equipment is going to make my racing car go faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what it comes down to, is thinking, how are we just going to help them achieve their goals, as you talked about there? And if we could be focused on what problems we solve and the impacts we have from that, then that's all we need to do and elevate those conversations.
Yeah. And I think the last thing there is, when we speak with the day-to-day user, often they're very goal oriented and they may know exactly what they want to do, but it's a more tactical goal. And they often get lost in the weeds and don't remember or don't see very clearly how that goal aligns with the bigger company vision and outcome. Mm-hmm. And then when we're speaking to a higher level decision maker, they're thinking only about outcomes. And often salespeople get lost both places. With the goals, they struggle to articulate the greater value, which drives urgency in the sale. And often with an executive, it's almost like they struggle in their head to envision how their product goes from, you know, working on one part of the race car to actually making it faster. And they struggle to make that connection. And so I think that's an important thing. And frankly, sales reps will almost never get there on their own. It's really the responsibility of sales leadership to help define that and train that to their team so they know how to run a sales process that gets there.
Yeah. And I feel like that's a whole different podcast topic for another day of enabling sales teams and supporting them.
Sure.
So, but Tony, it's been a real pleasure today. Thank you so much for your insights and your experience.
Of course, this has been fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Tony, for people that do want to follow you and find out, I mean, you know, we haven't spoken about it on here, but how I first came across you was the content you share on LinkedIn mm-hmm. for your videos, which I found really engaging and useful. So how can people go about finding you?
Yeah, so LinkedIn and really LinkedIn is the best way, but Twitter works too. So on Twitter, my handle is at Tony Bennett, TONNI. BENNETT, and Tony Bennett on LinkedIn. You can find me through the company Scaled, SKALED, if you're finding too many Tonys, but my name is spelled a little uniquely, so that should work.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Tony, and for the listeners, thanks for tuning into another episode of Not Another Sales Podcast.
Hey people, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Another Sales Podcast. If you want to find out more and connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn under Chris Hatfield, HATFIELD, or on my website, www.notanothersalesguy.com. That's www.notanothersalesguy.com. Stay tuned in future for some courses and free content on there as well. But for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you soon.